welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks. There we are into the last lap, the final hour or less now before we close at 2 o'clock. During the break, I gave some further thought about the question of press conferences in the Barbados Association of Journalists and Media Workers. Don't they think about they should be demanding, not requesting, demanding a full press conference on the COVID situation alone? Are they happy with the minimal information they get in a static form, in a press release, no explanation, no analysis? Would they like to hear from the scientists who maneuvered and managed the whole process, the risk involved, so we could be better? I feel insulted that as a Barbadian, certain information seems to be too precious, too good for me, or people like me, that only a select group could be have access to. I feel we should know what steps were taken, not only the protocols that are made public, how to, in order to get the support of the public, but about the science, the methodologies, how it was marshaled behind the scenes, so we can have an appreciate, because the younger generation, they will have to deal with their own, mostly pandemic or whatever, and people should know, be part of their living experience as to how that happened. Next of all, I would just like to mention that my abhorrence as to where the final outcome of the treatment given to those two youngsters who were caught red-handed illegally dumping by the Jalal beach. First of all, I became very suspicious when I heard mention of the two persons of different social backgrounds. To hear Minister Prescott, Trevor Prescott, say that, when he's normally a man likes to talk about black and white, you know, I say, what is going on here? I think we miss a great opportunity to stamp the country's authority in the whole question of illegal dumping. Far too often, this is one of the latest of a protracted line of dumping where people were meant to clean up the soft soaping social distinction thing. Has not really made any difference. And therefore, this is an age-old problem. And I see that every effort should be made to stamp it out once and for all through very severe penalties for it. Reward and punishment, like your stimulus and response. And if people misdo, they should be punished. Well, finally, I also want to say that what convinces me of that, I've heard people abuse, curse, or what we call it by a curse, all my life. I have never heard yet any Barbadian abuse his country. It's not so much the lady who was taking the view. To hear somebody say those things about the country, I was horrified. But then the younger people tell me that is commonplace among some, that they have no regard for Barbados or what it means to be Barbadian, or what they just want to live their life. And no one of them will have the crime and the violence that exists so readily, because people just don't care about Barbados in any way, way or measure. In other words, they don't care if Freddie come and choose the orange. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I got cut out earlier.
Yeah.
This man, I'm back online.
Yeah, I got you right, yeah. Go right ahead.
I was talking about the music business that Georgie had with.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. I think that people would produce music if they were sure that the music was going to be played. What happens is that all radio stations do not appreciate all local artists, and you will find that there's every excuse to play foreign music. Not foreign music, not be played at all. But I think we need to understand, especially in this environment, that the local artists need to be given a chance. And one of the ways they get a break is by getting royalties through their music being played in various media forms.
Right.
And we have Bayesians on there. Why don't they play music? We have a wide range of good music that is not being played. When the music is played, you get royalties through Costco, right? And therefore, people are not going to be encouraged to produce a record which is going to cost them, some might cost you $2,000, $3,000,
$4,000. And they have no... That sounds cheap to me. I thought it was much more expensive than that.
Well, it could be more expensive.
It depends on the quality of the product.
$2,000, $3,000, or $4,000. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually it's not much. It's not cheaper than that.
Yeah.
I was really, the other day, I was really annoyed Right, had a fellow who was doing recordings and did one for me for one of the Calypsonians for just $1,000. And the guy was not at all pleased about it.
Yeah.
Even though I was going to find
you weren't pleased, you weren't pleased with the quality of the product?
No, the product was great. We were nearly finalizing it. But the guy walked off because he had no appreciation for people who were extending him goodwill and that kind of thing. But you see, we have an issue with discipline and respect for things and that kind of thing. That's another issue. You raise it,
Pastor. But let me pick up something before you go on. You talk about people, there's not enough airplay being given on radio to local artists.
Local music, yeah.
But I hear on VOB, particularly, I think a fair amount of local media program devoted.
I was going to hear that, but this is because this is crop over time. Wait till crop over finish and see what will happen. And you might hear some around independence time too. But instead of that, wait and see what you're going to hear. So people need to be sensitized to the facts.
What proportion of music, of Barbadian music, do you think represents on the VRB stations?
You will hear crop over music, quote unquote, right? But outside of crop over time, I believe that you perhaps get, if you get 20% of Barbadian music, I think you're doing well. I mean, that's Miss Erica from Coscat can tell you more about that, because the artists are not being given the support they should be given.
But don't you think with the variety of radio stations in Barbados that people have choices enough to make to get what they want from each radio station?
Well, ideally that should happen, but Barbadian artists have music in various genres. But it looks as if we feel that things Barbadian are not supposed to be given the support it should be given.
I'm not sure that's a fair statement. That used to be so more than 20 years ago. I think we've come a long way since then.
Right.
And some people would probably say that too much emphasis in their mind is given to local Barbadian music, performances or whatnot.
That's not true. I have been following it as a person involved in it.
But I would like to get some empirical evidence.
Scott, she has the information.
I would like to get some empirical evidence. I know some evidence can be gained by looking at the royalties bill, where an overwhelming of royalties bill go abroad. Fine. But I say that is one thing. But still, I want to know how much of the local music is still on there by date based on all the radio stations in Barbados.
Well, that could easily found out. Eric, the Coscat people have all the statistics because you have to file the information.
Okay.
It's not that difficult, but I don't want to take up too much time on that. But I think the artists need support, especially now they can't go out there and perform and get money. So they will get money through the rights, intellectual property, through being paid royalties, right? That's the point I wanted to make.
Right, okay.
I also wanted to talk about the national insurance. And I'm supporting the caller who said that the lady who got frightened because she heard that they wanted your bank statement. They don't want your bank statement. There's a direct deposit form that you should fill in. And at the bottom of the form, you have to put in your account number, which would include the number of the bank and your account number so that the money can go to the right account.
Right.
Okay? And it also gives you a slip that they put at the top of this form, and that slip is the one that is submitted to the national insurance. But while I'm on that, I want to say, right, that I'm not satisfied that this appeal to especially pensioners to have their money lodged into an account instead of having a postman come to the house is really being followed through with the efficiency and alacrity as it should be. Because I know of cases where people are filling the forms, they've done all they had to do, and while they used to get their money coming by the postman right at their house, they're not getting their money.
It's not going into their accounts?
It's not going into their accounts.
And have they saw any explanation as to why that has not been happening?
Well, Glenn, you should know that when you call the National Insurance Office, you cannot get through to people. If you get through, I think you would have felt that you won $1 million. So that is one of the problems there. You can't find them easy on the phone. And old people will then have to go down there. And who knows, they may not even get a response. That is an area that needs to be improved if you're going to be asking people who do not want to be, but some don't have to catch bus.
I just got some information that trust to improve the customer service and delivery service at NIS is going to be manifested itself very greatly shortly, because the chairman and the board have been having sessions with the management of NIS that they need to pay greater attention.
They also need to make sure that the equipment that they have is adequate, and that, for example, the calls can be answered. The calls people cannot get through to National Insurance to ask, even ask a question about their money.
Yeah.
There are a number of people who have planned for their money and cannot get their money, having done the right thing of asking that their money, doing the relevant things to get their money, go to their bank account, instead of the known way of the postman bringing it to your house.
And so they get no money at all?
And so they get no money.
And what do they do after that?
They have to wait around to get their money. And they have to go turn up at the National Insurance Office waiting out, and they're promised, and sometimes the promises are not kept.
Yes, I understand that.
So if you want to get in the modern age, it's okay to talk with digital aid, but you have to be efficient. It can't be worse than the postman bringing it to your house and you're getting it come to your house. And when you
agreed, you have
planned your finances, and you have to, as people say, scrunch, because you're not getting your money.
Through no fault of your own.
Little issues that have to be addressed. Now, as you know, Barbados is 200 and something on the index of the ease of doing business. So let's try and get those little things right.
Well, I was very pleased when government separated, the NIS separated the mandated policy of placing your money into your account if you're seeking to get a benefit, sickness, maternity, etc., where we're not going to your account, and I excluded the person, the 33,008, I think, these people who receive checks, the older generation who receive checks, and checks give them the flexibility that you don't get in a bank account.
People to let the checks keep coming to their house, because they know when it comes, they know when it's not coming. With that technology, you have to know to work it. And on top of that, if mistakes are made sometimes, if you're not technologically savvy, you're not going to find out unless it's too late. Sometimes it's too late.
And technology can break down.
So I heard your boy, Peter Wickham, saying that the people need to do this and it's checks. It's okay, but you have to understand the practicality of what happens.
That is something that I think the society is evolving towards. And I'm glad to say they're not mad rush to impose it on everybody.
It gradually evolved, but it's not ready yet. It's causing too much pain and anguish, especially people who don't know the technology. And then they cannot get their money when they used to get it, when the money was coming from a postman to their house.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
The post office.
Yeah.
You know, because there are things to get right instead of beating on people.
But I've been assured by some persons at NIS that this is something, there's a better trust that is coming Barbados' way in the not-too-distant future. It will be probably marketed and PR'd, and people will know about it ahead of time.
It is being worked on.
I understand it's not being worked on in a way never done before. That is gone past call.
I'm not holding my breath.
All right. But based on the track record of the present board, led by Ingrid Nedgett, I would give them a chance of keeping their word.
They prove that they are efficient. I would tell those people, let the check come by the postman to their house.
Okay.
And we are assured that there is a high degree of efficiency.
Thank you, Andrew. We got to go.
Pay certain bills, and it's not turning up.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling, Randall. I think you make a lot of sense there. Brass Tax, good afternoon. Good afternoon, this is Brass Tax. Hello? Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Murray. How are you?
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
Fine. Do you know who you're speaking to?
The one and only, Miss P. Am I right? Is that one and only?
That's Ken Husband. He's the one and only.
Yes.
First and foremost, before I ask you how you're doing, I'd like to know how Dennis Johnson is doing and when he's coming back.
Well, I heard David say earlier this week or late last week that he had been given two more weeks extension of leave. That's the last I've heard. He's still in the battle.
Okay. Well, Dennis, if you're listening, I give you all my love and all my kisses. And I wish you a speedy recovery, because Miss P really misses you. You know, that's my soldier.
We all know that. We have to live with that. It's the truth. But we all know it.
The whole of Barbados knows it, because they've been coming to me, like, I see Dennis every day asking me how he's doing, and I say, I've really had no contact because I really don't want to bother him if he's sick, because I'm that type. I don't want to be bothered when I'm not well. Anyways, getting back to you. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back. I know that sooner or later you're going to get a government assignment to leave.
No, I'm too old for that. I've resigned from that. I've given up.
Barbados. You're never, ever too old.
There's nothing that I'm interested in doing like that.
Okay.
I had my stint of that already, and I don't go back already.
Okay, so you've been there, and you know what's going on.
That's right. And I've done it, and I think I did some good things, too. I'm probably did some bad things, but I like to think that the good outweighed the bad, and that's all you can ask for in life.
Well, I've only heard the positive, but very few people come to me with negative stuff. Now, I have a very serious issue that I need to discuss with you today.
Yeah.
You know, I come from Montreal. I lived in Montreal.
Right.
But I also belong to the Barbadian, we really called it the Caribbean community, where we all mixed together. We had our dances together, our bus rides on Labor Day to New York. I even got involved in that and organized my own buses under the caption Barbadian. That was to attract all the Bajans, because Bajans are very loyal to each other when they're up in Canada. They know I'm running a bus, they're going to jump on my bus and support me. That's the way it goes in Montreal.
I remember Montreal well, because I had to go there several times when I was like commissioner in Ottawa. And I think there used to be a Caribbean Day festival in parks and whatnot.
Yes, and then we had a Barbados Day, and you wouldn't believe it, because they were giving out bags. So you know everybody got there early.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, there was lineups all over the place for Banks beer. It was incredible. But, yeah, that's Barbados. We have a Barbados Day in Cotonage area, where I basically grew up.
Right.
Getting back to the main point is, every day, and you have to help me out here, because I'm quite curious about this, and it's really angers me every time I hear it on this program. I live with Bajans up there. I've had people that worked and employers that have come back to me and say, if you know of any other Barbadians that are coming up from Barbados and are looking for work, please refer them to our hospital. Please refer them to our company. They were always in big demand over all the other Caribbean countries, Barbadians. Now I'm in Barbados. I hear people every day calling this program. Well, you know, Bajans got short memories. Irritates the hell out of me. Barbadians are lazy. Barbadians don't want to get ahead.
Of course, it means some.
But they don't say
I'm probably far too many, but you can't generalize to the whole society.
No, you can't. You can't paint us all with the same brush. They're lazy. And they come on like with a blanket statement, and nobody corrects them right then and there, it should be nipped in the bud. Because you know what that is? That's another form of why we marched in that Black Matters parade. It wasn't just about George Floyd. He was just the umbrella. It was about the systematic racism that's been indoctrinated into our own brothers and sisters in Barbados, where they really feel, some of them, that they're inferior.
But,
and they want their children to believe that. And they want their grandchildren. You'll only get this far in this country because of the color of your skin or who you are. Not because of your education. Not because you put out. They have that in their minds, and I hear it every day, and it frustrates me. We need to stop this nonsense because it, too, is a part of systematic racism.
How would you suggest?
In a lot of people's minds.
How would you suggest we put this up?
And we need to wipe it off the slate. We've got to get rid of it.
How would you suggest we try to get it reworked, to get it? It's a process. It's something that will not happen overnight.
Child, by the time they're 12 years old, should have read the Willie Lynch letter. That's number one. Number two, they must know that before slavery, we had our own great civilization in Africa. Number three, they need to know that they would have never brought us here if we were lazy. They could have got their own people from England and Europe to be the slaves that were here in the Caribbean.
To me, history shows that they brought us here because of price. Yeah? History shows that we were brought here, that slaves were brought about because of the rise in the wages of the Industrial Revolution in England. May therefore, they had to look for a cheaper source of labor.
It was cheaper. It was no labor. It was no price. There was no price. There was no cost for us because we worked for free. They should
have cheaper to the owners of the slaves.
England to work for free because they had enough prostitutes and thieves and killers in their own country that came on that Mayflower, which was nothing more than a bunch of criminals. So,
the Mayflower went to the United States, not to Barbados. I thought we were talking about Barbados. Are you speaking generally, internationally, or what?
I'm talking generally and internationally because it all dribbles down to Barbados and the way people feel about themselves. Not all Barbadians, because there's some of us out here proud. You can't tell us nothing about ourselves. We'll look at you like you're ignorant and keep on walking. We won't even respond to you because we know that whatever you're saying is based on ignorance. You don't know any better. But you have to have the type of parents that are and grandparents that are able to teach the children this type of knowledge. And I feel sorry for a lot of these elderly people that come on your radio program and talk a lot of nonsense because they don't know any better. We're not colored people. We're not even black people because black, to me, is ebony. And there ain't no such thing as a white person because I ain't never seen one because their skin is not like paper and it's not like ivory.
To me, that's an unproductive, non-productive argument because terms and labels are things that have always been attributed to people over the ages.
But whether there's
a scientific qualification for it or not, is a different matter. But I would like to think that in Barbados, given the society that we have fashioned over the years since emancipation in 1838, that we would have made some progress
for black people
in that regard.
We have not done nothing for our black
nothing?
People. Not even Obama did anything for his
people. No. I'm talking about Barbados now. What? Do you think that? Are you the kind of person? I'm not the kind of person that I depend on an existence or a visible existence of Nelson to make me feel good about myself or Barbados. I know within myself, I'm self-contained. I have self-esteem. A statue cannot change that. It's still deep-rooted.
I bet if you were a Jew and you saw Hitler outside the synagogue in downtown Barbados, that you would feel differently.
I would never be a Jew.
Very differently.
I cannot speak for a Jew. I'm speaking to us. This is how I classify myself. I'm a person, a human being first and foremost. Secondly, I'm a Barbadian because Barbados was what shaped me and made me what I am. And then thirdly, I'm a Barbadian who happened to be black. I do not elevate my blackness to the top, the pinnacle of my existence, my self-esteem.
No,
I don't.
But there's a reason for that, and you know darn well, I don't think you want to say it on the radio, but you know what Nelson signifies to the majority of the educated black people who have their own identity in Barbados, what it signifies to them. It's an utter insult. It's an insult to me.
Just by his existence in Barbados.
Just by him being where he is. Put him in a museum. I'm not the type to say dump him in the...
Did Nelson ever set foot in Barbados?
Never.
Did he own any...
He didn't even like Barbados.
Did he own any companies, any plantations, or whatever in Barbados?
No.
I don't understand the basis of the intent.
People have to read. They have to find out for themselves. When I was a young kid, my mother didn't curse. She didn't believe in cursing. We weren't allowed to curse in her house, even though I had the filthiest mouth of the group. You mess with me, I'm going to cuss you out if I know that's what's going to bother you. I'm going to get to you psychologically if I know that's going to bother you. Very seldom did I have to use my fist, but I did. I've used my fist all the way through grade school. By the time I got to high school, they knew who Pearl was, and no one messed with me. No one messed with me. I excelled in sports. I excelled in school. No one messed, not even teachers, principals. No one messed with me.
And those were your survival mechanisms in that society?
Pardon?
Those were your survival mechanisms in that society.
It wasn't even survival. After a while, it was just me. I walked down the street, like my mother said, walk like a proud African. She didn't.
Don't you think that you have any reason to be proud of Barbadians and proud of Barbados?
And I walk, and I still do. Like, I own the streets of Barbados.
Do you think that we have any justifiable reason to be proud of Barbadians, proud black Barbadians, and being proud of Barbados?
We have plenty, and I met them all on the march. We met, but they don't come on the radio. I don't understand. They say they get cut because we're not ready. It might mess with our economics in Barbados. You can't say what you want to say, but there's plenty. The people I mix with, they think just like me. But then again, they know their black history. They know their African history. They know we weren't always slaves.
But didn't some of our forefathers take the risk, take the chance to try to advance the society and make changes, some of the changes that we enjoy today?
For us, I'm sorry. So from
Pardon?
The time we were independent, those books should have been thrown all and burnt roots and know the truth about why they were brought here.
But how could they develop the African roots when their roots were mixed with European? When they came to Barbados, they did not remember when they fighted genuine Africans.
They're part European when they shoot you, do they? Do they?
All right, Miss B.
You have a good day.
Good talking to you again. Looking forward to hearing you some more in the future. Rastas, good afternoon. This is Rastas, good afternoon. Hello, Rastas. Hello, Rastas, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Murray, I'm glad to hear you back on the radio program, and I guess you might have heard me ask for you and ask Mr. Ellis if you could get you back on. I'd be glad if I caused that.
I'm very sorry. Thanks very much for your ongoing support.
And I particularly asked for you because you had a style of moderating that was different from others. I mean, we know you have a Barbados Labour Party background, but still you just dealt with matters without being personal about them. You just dealt with them as they come to you. And you never dealt with personalities, like you said when you came back on. You dealt with issues. And I like that.
That is the journalist in me. That's where he was trained. I believe that in life you're able to compartmentalize your roles, separate one from it. When you go to a doctor, you don't get BLT medicine, or if you go to an accountant, and they don't administer, they think they administer based on their profession. I consider myself having been a professional journalist, so therefore I aspire to higher standards.
Well, that is very good. You know, I heard about Glenn Murray years ago, but I never paid you the money, you know.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I was calling the program, and I heard you first. I saw it and listened to you years ago. You know what I mean?
I just said better late than never.
Nothing
happened before its time.
Another characteristic you have about you, too, I've never heard you insult any callers as a moderator. You never get that angry enough. And start anybody and say, "Man, you're talking stupidness." I never heard of that.
But no, because it's a matter of opinion. And partly, too, it's because I had training in the social sciences, psychology, social psychology, cultural anthropology, history, sociology. So I know I'm all alleged in human affairs and human behavior. So therefore, I know how to analyze and comport myself and treat matters and treat people.
A lot of people, Mr. Murray, are taught, but they don't apply a lot of the things they're taught, do you know? So you still got a little extra compliment for playing where you've been taught, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's enough about me, you know. You're getting me feel self-conscious.
I'm moving on now, right?
Yes, please.
And my contribution today is rather short, right? Now, sometime in 2019, garbage trucks were ordered for us. And I want to know, this is over 18 months now. This is probably, I think they were ordered in about January 2019. This is now 18 months. Mr. Murray, why haven't we got the garbage trucks yet?
I don't know. The ordering and the provision of garbage trucks, the whole question of how the information flow about it came out, to me still has not been satisfactorily rendered. There seems to be no commitment that you should keep the public advised on an ongoing basis as to development. That once trucks came and have melted into the system and made some improvements, that I think you probably think that's supposed to be all move on. But I agree with you that we need to know. We need to know what's coming next. We need to know about long-term plans and policies. I think part of the problem that in most instances, very few bona fide genuine policies come out of the ministry. You get announcement about this project, but there's no long-term vision that I'm getting out of the ministries. And I think that's what we are suffering for.
This is surprising because they thought that's what we were changing to. But Mr. Murray, you still didn't answer. You understand the question I asked you, or you don't understand the question yet?
Well, do it again, then. Repeat it.
That trucks were ordered in 2018, garbage trucks.
Right.
Why haven't we received the trucks yet?
Do you remember how many there were?
I am looking for you to tell me that garbage
trucks. I can't remember because my brain is off.
Garbage trucks in 2018 last year. Garbage trucks were ordered, and garbage trucks came.
Right.
Let me explain why I'm saying that instead of talking in parables. We were told by the minister that the trucks were delayed because the chassis were made in Japan. And the chassis they had to be transported to America to be retrofitted for the Barbados situation, the Barbados terrain. Because
right.
Any and every truck can work, Barbados needs special garbage trucks. Now, that means the other trucks that have chassis made and then to be transported at some point in time about June, July, they were said to be, the chassis had already gone to America. Because I remember Sanka Price, many people were talking about it. He said, no, I would give the government up to November. If I don't see them in November, then I will talk. And then out of the blue, trucks arrive. But we don't seem to understand. Those are not the trucks. Those trucks came from Mexico. I am talking about, say, the $8 or $10 million in trucks that were purchased from Japan and going to America. Where are those particular trucks? That is what I'm asking about.
I understand that. And that goes back to the point you made in that. You see what is happening nowadays, having been like journalists, a PR man, and telecommunication and whatnot, because there's a flurry of activity to make people seem that you're busy, you're working hard. And once that happens, people want to, it seems as though they believe that you should not get any more, you should not get any further information. But publicity, PR is not information. There's not this commitment to an ongoing, except when it suits government purpose, there's not a commitment to give you as fulsome, frequent, welcome information as they want, like the gathering. Or something like that. We saw the gathering ad nauseum. But when it comes to things involving concerns of public information, there's not that readiness to respond and satisfy the public, which is the essence of democracy, which we are promised.
Yes, We are lacking at this point in time. But I'm still concerned about the money, at least. So if the minister could come and enlighten us as to where the trucks are now, and certainly 18 months is too long, what has become of the money? Is Barbados going to get back the valuable foreign exchange that they need?
But maybe the trucks were delayed because of the quick and something collapse of the supply chain as a result of COVID, that people are not shipping as ready or what. I just like to, there might be a rational, that might be part of the rational explanation for it. But certainly we should know.
We won't have to guess if we are told, right?
Right.
I'm looking forward to that. Anyhow, thanks for hearing you, and have a good day.
Thank you very much for calling. Hello, this is Brass Tacks. It is now 1:42. We close out at 2 o'clock. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. We are into our home edition, home section. It's now 1:46, which means we have about 14 more minutes to go in this edition of Brass Tacks. I'd just like to make mention of something I said earlier about information from government on issues, including pandemic. And I'd like to quote the Czar Carter, the COVID Czar Carter, in today's Barbados Today. He's quoted as saying, throughout the pandemic, the government of Barbados always followed a risk-based, scientific, and evidence-led approach as to how it conducted its business. I'd like to know what those were. I'd like to have greater insights for the benefit of the society. So we can understand what really went on. So that, because if we understood what went on, that brought us about the improvements, and we did do some good work up to a certain point. I've always felt that the information flow was deficient and not enough. I know that we are at a critical stage where we're seeing things flaring up and what is happening in the outside world. I think the need for information on a more constant, more consistent, fully expansive and expansionary basis, where we have not only medical doctors or personnel involved, but we have people who, epidemiologists, people who could tell us how more and give us more than superficial or brief points about these issues that we can better able to manage the process. This is a crucial process. If the public knows more, and I feel this also applies to maintaining social behavior, making your social controls, your discipline. Barbados largely is a society that responds to discipline. Largely is. And I feel that the lack of consistent information as to an explanation as to what the figures we are being given meant, the long 7 deaths, the reduction and then elimination of people in care, I think that lulled persons into a false sense of security, and they dropped the guard because Barbados is going to end up dying, etc. I think we need up the information on radio, on TV, on WhatsApp to drill it into people, because we're seeking to modify people's behavior and let them know that, especially when they're out partying, and where alcohol dulls your sensibilities and eliminates virtually your inhibitions, and you're into dangerous territory. When therefore, the protocols that you should be maintaining, especially the physical distancing, the mask, etc., I like to go away because people are having a good time. Brass, good afternoon. Can I help you? Hello, this is Brass Tacks. Hello, Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Murray. I didn't realize that I was on.
Oh, yes, you are. Welcome.
I think this is the first time that I'm speaking to you. Let me just say welcome back. It's good to hear you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for your good wishes.
I thought that you opened last Wednesday very well. I want to look at the whole issue of creating new industries in Barbados. And I really felt that this was the opportunity for Barbados to really start to look at an aviation industry coming off of what happened with the act. Now, we're hearing or we're getting bits of information about the new aircraft. I don't know what to call it. I don't know if it's a Barbadian aircraft, but if it's flying a Barbadian flag, then it must be.
Barbados registered.
It's Barbados registered. Thanks. So I want to suggest that maybe it's high time, and I really felt that our Prime Minister and certainly our Tourism Minister would have gotten together and really sat down and look at the aviation industry and certainly the potential there is for that to develop in Barbados and even to have revenue. The aviation industry is much broader than just aircraft. It involves even a flight school. It involves young minds to create things. We have a lot of people who are tech-savvy to create apps that could help the airplanes and so on. You know, so there's so many things that is involved in an aviation industry, and as I understand it, the groundwork has already been laid. Putting aside that we are not category, we haven't gotten category one status yet. I believe that that is something that could come in the process. But I really believe that we need to have the Independent Aviation Authority set up so that we can seriously...
So right now, aviation is managed by the Department of Government, is it not?
That's right.
Right.
But one of the requirements of the International Aviation Agency is for us to have an independent authority, just like how we have a transport authority. We were supposed to have an independent aviation authority. And really start from there, because I believe that there's really potential there, because we have a number of our young people. We can train here. They can be certified here to become pilots. We can encourage people from the other islands to come to our flight school if we develop one.
You said the foundation has already been laid. Can you expand on that to give me an indication of the kind of preparatory work that has gone on in the past?
Right. There was some contact that was established between an overseas school in Barbados to develop a school, a flight school, an aviation school here in Barbados. But I understand that fell through the cracks. Now, I don't know
if... Any idea why?
Well, because it goes back to not understanding the difference between tourism and aviation and
okay.
doing anything about what potential exists in Barbados for us to use resources of our people and minds of our people to do certain things.
Now, how long ago was this? Do you have any idea?
That's why it's important for the aviation experts, names that I can't call, to come and to discuss these matters openly so the public would have a sense. This is information that I have been discussing with people in aviation who have the expertise and knowledge. And I'm fully aware of things that would have happened in terms of groundwork, setting up of the school, and even laying out of a or identifying a building that would be the Aviation Independent Authority. But these things need to be discussed and ventilated by the technocrats. If people who work in the Ministry of Tourism under aviation, the people who understand how an airline is supposed to work, what would make it cost-effective, what would make it efficient, how it could generate revenue, how it could branch off into other areas so that you can have an industry, a thriving industry. And so the expertise can't come from me. It has to come from the technocrats who've been involved in the business for years.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking myself this morning that with the advent of One Caribbean and whatever is to happen in the airline industry involving Barbados in the region, I would think that the persons who've lived it, who've worked it, can come and explain. They said that Barbados is going to be a hub and spoke operation. Come and explain the implications of that. Don't let this be a label and term. Come and explain the economic, technological, whatever implications there are for that. Tell me, let us know what are the rights of Barbados as a registering company. Is there a ship? Is there an airline registry? Like there's a ship registry. What would be the whole question of rights in Barbados having One Caribbean based there? I think we just need more information to so we can understand and appreciate what's happening, and maybe give it our support. But it has to pass the test of credibility and proven reliability.
Hi, Mr. Murray, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir.
Hey, Mr. Murray, how are you? Good to hear you, man.
I see
in your DNA, there's no African in your DNA.
No, I'm not saying there's no African. Africa comes third in ranking. Because I was here at BBC News.
So you give up a continent for the island, huh?
No, I gave up my... content is not my birthplace. Content did not make me. Barbados made me.
All right, don't do well, dwell for that too much, because time will tell.
We can talk about that another time.
Mr. Murray.
Yeah?
Do you see a government trying to look something for you first? Will you go and buy whole 30 buses that you're trying to move for the first? I would do a trend.
It all depends on the planning and the examination.
I
won't rule it out.
Too big. 30 is too big. You try something, can't try 30.
What do you think is a good number?
Huh? Why? Why? At least within 10. You can't go straight to 30 because the problem, the same problem with those buses down here, because those buses is breathing to the side that we got, how we roll the dirty, and they can't breathe. The same thing happened to the electric buses. Look at the clean air streaks. That's the problem. You see where the buses come from? You see the whole street of Americans? You see them?
I would like to think that those people who sought them out did their prior examination.
Mr. Murray, don't answer, so, Mr. Murray. They went and cut the machine and then go to America and then piece flat land and we got a drain we best and they went and buy machines to cut cane. No, they don't know what's going on, but we will deal with that another time because they can tell why they got to go and do these things. All right, let me do the hotel. I want support, Mr. Randall McCandless. I was telling you about the hotel, the National Insurance. There's over 3 months, Mr. Murray, and get sent for National Insurance. Over three months.
You send all the paperwork, met all the requirements or whatever?
Mr. Murray, they send, when the COVID thing start, they send two checks.
Right.
And by the first week of May, I get my second check. And Mr. Murray, up to this day, no checks come. And then send nothing, National Insurance to send nothing.
Have you checked with them?
Of course, I went there last week.
What would they say?
And the man telling me about 3 months in that long enough.
What?
You can imagine that. And I tell you, if you owe your mortgage, your mortgage people run you down. At least come out and say something, make people feel like we get him money from when we're not paying our bills. This thing is foolishness that's going on over here. And the government sitting there saying nothing at all. The government sitting there saying nothing.
I know, like I said, I know the National Insurance is working to clean up that. Take my on several fronts.
But they're working to clean up the app. We're suffering. Send some money to the people, man. Send some money.
Well, they
are our lifeline, and right now we need our lifeline from them. And do we only get a half of your salary from them, or 60% of the salary?
I could not have said it better. It's our lifeline, and therefore we deserve a better response to keep our lives going. Thank you very much for your call, sir. This has been Brass Act for Thursday, and I want to thank all those who called. I want to thank John, who's kept the ship together very well, and I appreciate his efforts. I want to thank, I look forward to talking to you again soon, and until then, please take care of yourselves. Take care.